Hey guys, welcome back to the show. My name is Lauren and this is Liam.
Hello.
If you've watched this show before, you'll know that we've spoken about those mandatory do not rape classes that some colleges are making their students take. And it just so happens that Liam is one of those college students who needs to learn how to not rape. So we thought, wouldn't it be fun if we did the program together? It's like a little online slideshow thing, right?
Yeah, not so little, I think, but yeah, it's...
Yeah, okay, maybe we don't do all of it because I don't want to sit here learning to not rape for like an hour or anything. But yeah, we would all learn to not rape together. See how ridiculous this is. I'm excited. Back when I was in school, this was not a thing. So I'm interested to see what the administration will actually think is, I don't know, useful rape prevention.
Yeah, I mean, like, we are joking about it, but I mean, I think that all of us can agree that sexual violence, real sexual violence, is among the worst things you could do
to someone,
right? So yeah, while I probably would wager that the rates of sexual violence have been declining, like, they're probably at an all-time low historically, you know, some of this might be valid stuff. So let's approach it with an open mind.
I'm going to try approaching it with an open mind, but I just, like, as bad as I think sexual violence is, I just doubt how, like, an online webinar would be useful in combating it. But yeah, whatever. We'll see. We'll try it. I'm open-minded. But before we get into it, I would just like to let you guys know that a whole new line of merch for the show has just been released and is now available at shopblazemedia.com/Lauren. Not only are there mugs, shirts, hats, and more with our branding, but you can also check out merch for The Blaze's other shows and hosts as well. Again, that's shopblazemedia.com/Lauren. You'll get some awesome gear, plus it's a great way to support the show. And if you use the code Lauren10, you get 10% off your entire order, and that discount is good until midnight on Sunday. All right, module one, sexual violence.
We're starting off with what sexual violence is, of course.
We should get right into it.
And I think we're going to get a few hypothetical situations here. The first one is a university student walks down the street and a group of young men yells sexually explicit phrases at her out of their car's windows. Is this sexual violence?
So I know what answer they want, which is to say yes, but because otherwise they wouldn't ask. But in my opinion, sexual violence needs to be violence and words are not violence. So I would say this is sexual harassment, though.
Yeah. Now, they did say they're not recording our answers, and I hope that they're not, because
it's like if you get the wrong answer, this is you're taken to a gulag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I would say no, it's not violence.
That's what they do. They rape you if you get the wrong answers.
To prove how bad rape is.
Yeah.
Wait, does it show you what you're... doesn't give you an answer.
They don't give me an answer right away, but I have a feeling they're going to tell me what an awful person I am.
Okay, yeah.
Shortly. So they give us a second hypothetical. A young man works as a part-time barista at an on-campus cafe, and his male manager gropes him even after he has turned down the other's sexual advances. Is this sexual violence?
I do like that they're including, like, men being sexually harassed. Because it does happen.
It does happen.
We don't always talk about it that much as society. I would say this actually is sexual violence because there's a physical component to it. And violence is physical. So I would say this is yes.
Yep. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And a third and last one, it seems, is after not reciprocating interest and hooking up during a conversation on a dating app, a user starts bombarding the other person with sexually explicit messages and pictures. Is this sexual violence?
This is an interesting one because there are actually, I think there are some states that are trying to make it like a form of harassment to send unsolicited sexual images,
which I
think
is,
I would get behind that.
Yep.
I would agree it's harassment, but I don't think it's violence. Like, I don't think you can commit violence against someone through an app because, like, you're not physically interacting with them. So, I don't know. To me, like, I'm pretty, violence needs to be physical. So I would say no.
Okay, so we're going to find out if you're a rapist.
Okay.
The answer to all of these scenarios is yes.
What?
Sexual violence can take a variety of forms, some of which are not actually violence.
Oh, or even touching you at all. Okay, yeah. So before we started this, there was like a little intro, which we didn't film, but it said 1 in 4 women over their lifetimes and 1 in 6 men over their lifetimes will experience sexual violence. And again, I appreciate that they're including men into the conversation. Oftentimes that's not done, but it's like, yeah, I guess that's true if you're including catcalling as sexual violence.
That's true. You'd think even more. You'd think a higher percentage would.
Yeah, but it's like I don't know how that helps women or victims of actual sexual violence to expand the definition until literally like, hey, baby, or whatever it is, like sexual violence. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I find that a little bit ridiculous. I mean, not that I think catcalling is a...
No, I hate catcalling. I find it like disrespectful, vulgar. I don't like it, but it's not violence.
Okay, so here's how they define sexual violence. Sexual violence is any violence, physical or psychological, carried out through sexual means or by targeting sexuality. Sexual assault is defined as unwanted and non-consensual contact of a sexual nature.
But see, this is like, this is misleading to me because they're including, like, sexual assault and sexual harassment fall under sexual violence. Well, then I guess that depends on how you include sexual harassment. Because, like, I could see that someone, let's say, slapping your butt, that's sexual harassment. And I think arguably sexual violence, too. But, like, don't put that on the same level, I'm going to say it again, as someone just yelling things at you from a car. It's so strange. Like, when did they decide this?
It seems very arbitrary as well. I don't know what made them the authority of these kinds of things. That's
rape
one
experts,
thing.
Yeah, if you will.
Just, they've redefined the word violence by doing it in this way.
Yeah.
So they define sexual harassment as unwanted comments or behaviors of a sexual nature or that target someone's sexuality. So, I mean, I guess would that mean something homophobic is sexual harassment?
Oh, yeah.
And then
for sure.
Sexual violence? So be homophobic at sexual.
Sexual violence, absolutely. By this definition, like, there is no doubt in my mind they would absolutely consider calling someone like the F word, the FA word, not to be confused with the other F word as sexual violence under this definition.
Right. So that sounds, that does sound a little bit far-fetched to me, I think.
You know? Yeah, no, you'll not find anyone more anti-rape than me or more anti-sexual harassment, sexual violence. But the whole conflation of terms, I don't know how that helps anybody.
Okay, reported sexual violence. According to the 2014 Canadian General Social Survey, only one in every 20 sexual assaults is reported to the police. Well, if it includes catcalls and the likes, I kind of hope that that's the case.
Yeah, I always find those surveys like super hard to... I mean, how would you quantify that? Like, only this number of sexual assaults gets reported to the police. That's really, really hard to quantify. And it's even harder to quantify when you're including things like catcalling into sexual violence. I mean, what would that even...
Yeah. How do you get data on that?
Yeah. Is it illegal to catcall somebody?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
No, it's not illegal.
Like, I think it's rude, but...
Right.
It's not
illegal to curse someone's head off, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's how you know your definition of sexual violence is wrong. If part of it is not actually illegal,
right,
then you're probably pretty far off as to what actual sexual violence is.
On the argument of, like, words being violence, I mean, you can swear, use all kinds of slurs at someone.
As long as they're not racial slurs and you're not in the UK.
Right.
Or Europe.
They would feel violated, I assume.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a different kind of violation.
But it's still
like, it's the same argument. And it's not illegal. And it being illegal is, I think, ridiculous. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think this argument just falls flat. Sexual violence statistics. The following statistics show a small percentage of the real numbers and are only a few examples. So the first one says that 44% of lesbians experience sexual violence.
Wait, what? This is awesome. They included this. Okay, keep going.
61% of bisexuals experience sexual violence, and 35% of heterosexuals experience sexual violence.
So they're saying that, like, wait, so straight women are the least likely to experience sexual violence?
I don't know what they're saying, but I think that with the lens that they're going to approach this
is problem. That, no, that straight, like, white men are targeting lesbians.
I don't think, I mean, listen, no, I think the angle that they're going to take is very much that because they're going to count homophobic slurs, but then why would you have bisexuals higher than
lesbians? It doesn't make any sense.
Right. So I don't know, but it seems to me like you could also say maybe there's something else that explains for these stats.
Yeah. Cause I don't know. To me, it's like looking like, oh, well, women in heterosexual relationships are least likely to be sexually assaulted. But isn't that actually true that lesbians have a super high rate of domestic abuse or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's one of the highest of any population group, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting that they're including that, but I would love to see what their interpretation of it is.
Right. And if we listened, maybe we would know, but we have the volume off.
Yeah, because we didn't think that'd be that interesting.
Yeah, so that was for women. Now, on the male side, 26% of gay men experience sexual violence.
Well, it's super low considering the lesbian and bisexual numbers for women. Interesting.
Yep. 37% of bisexual men and 29% of heterosexual men. I'm very confused at this point because at the start of this presentation, they said 1 in 6 men have experienced sexual violence.
Yeah.
But here, the minimum that I see is 1 in 4.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe stats are tough.
Stats are tough, especially when you're probably working under like 15 different definitions of what sexual violence is. So like, I don't know where this
data from. Just like, you know,
everybody gets harassed at least a little bit is probably the takeaway that they want you to know.
Now, for transgender people, it's about 50% of people have experienced sexual violence, and 99% of people that carry out sexual violence are males.
Or no, 99% I think of the accused perpetrators males.
Yeah,
I don't think that's accurate though. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's like if we look at like the actual domestic abuse rates of lesbians, they're quite high. I mean, I know men are overrepresented in any type of violent crime or anything like that, including sexual violence, but I don't know if it would be as high as 99%.
What would come to mind immediately is that males do not tend to view a lot of unwanted sexual attention from women as sexual violence.
That's true. Right? So there might be underreporting just for that, because they're not viewing themselves as the victims of sexual violence. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't see it as sexual violence. They probably see it as harassment or something like that. But it's you know, to call it violence, in a lot of cases, they might think is the mentality is just not there. Okay, so now we are getting another hypothetical.
Ooh, I love these.
These are fun. So statistically, where and why does sexual violence occur? Person A is walking home from class late at night, or person B is at home watching a movie with their date. Whom is statistically more at risk of sexual assault?
I like that they include this, because you are actually way more likely to be sexually assaulted by people that you know versus people that you don't know. And I think most people have that reversed. So that's actually, I'm glad that they're including that. If we're going to do that, like, this is good.
The answer is definitely person B. Yeah, we can agree on that.
Yeah.
So person B is more at risk. 70% of sexual assaults happen within a residence, and 80% by someone known to the person who experiences it.
See, I think like if they are going to do a sexual assault program thing, I think it is good to focus on things like these statistics about, you know, where it does and doesn't happen, who is and who is not at risk. But where I have a problem is when you do these things that kind of conflate not violence with actual violence, making the issue out to be a lot larger. And also when you start, I don't know where this is going, but that whole like constant affirmative consent thing where you, because you're so afraid of sexual assault, you feel the need to completely change the dynamics of dating entirely to make sure people don't rape each other, even though that's never been how that works.
Ooh, module 2, sexual consent.
This is where it gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what they mean by sexual consent.
Yeah, here we're going to get into the affirmative consent, yes means yes type stuff, I feel.
Talking about consent, question 1 of 1. Consider this. Person A and person B are kissing. Person B wants to put their hand on person A's thigh, but is afraid talking will kill the mood.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes, it will kill the mood. Can I put my hand on your thigh? That is like, that's the most awkward thing I've, because you're not even asking to do something necessarily like that sexual. You're just saying, can I put my, like, I don't know. It's pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, I think the answer to that universally is no.
Because no, it will not kill the mood?
No.
No, don't do it.
It's just no, don't do it. Like, you ask, so now it's no. You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
You've made
like,
it weird. Now I don't want you touching me at all.
Right, exactly.
In fact, get out of my house, you weirdo.
I don't like having this on video, actually. They're going to use this against me. Well, but I mean, this is definitely clown world stuff, in my opinion.
No, for sure.
This will definitely... They want this answer right
here. Yeah, they want to say...
not kill the mood.
It will not kill the mood.
So we're going to put yes, it'll kill the mood.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's not correct. Oh, shocking.
No, college student, how dare you would say that would kill the mood? Don't you know that we college administrators know so much better than you about what is and what is not sexy for the youths?
Asking for consent is the opposite of killing the mood. Exclamation point. Consent is, it's the key to fun and mutually enjoyable sex, a voluntary affirmation that someone is totally on board with what is happening and wants to be doing it.
I love the dichotomy they're painting. Like, no, it's not killing the mood to ask to put your hand on someone's knee because consent is fun and sexy. Like, you're assuming that the only type of consent that exists is the, like, completely verbal, explicit version.
What is consent? Consent is a voluntary affirmation and is never implied. Oh, first of all, I want to pause here and just point out in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen,
yeah,
you could see the feeling overwhelmed button.
There's, like, a trigger out if you're uncomfortable with the subject matter.
You can just skip the module or what have you if you are feeling triggered as well. Oh. So I thought that was a little bit interesting.
Okay, but I want to push back. So it says it's voluntary and is never implied. Yes, but also no. We did a video about the whole Aziz Ansari situation.
Yeah.
He was with a one-night stand who felt violated, but she never said no. until a certain point when she did and he stopped. But before that, she was performing, viewer discretion, oral sex on him. Like, that's kind of implied that you consent to what's going. He just said, hey, do you want to do it? And then she started doing it, is how I remember the story. Like, that's pretty implied consent, if you ask me, when you're seemingly just voluntarily going at it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of this seems to me to be rules for, like, one-night stands as well.
Which people who you haven't previously interacted with before.
Because, right. I mean, I cannot picture a husband and wife of 20 years going through these can I touch your leg?
Yeah.
I just don't see that. That's not real. If you're still doing that, you probably have some kind of, like, you're probably socially inept in some way.
That's a Sheldon Amy from Big Bang Theory relationship. Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think a lot of this is meant to set universal standards for one night stands.
Yeah.
Where I think you're at the biggest risk for miscommunication between partners. My advice would be that there's always going to be a risk for not just actual sexual violence, but just hurt feelings, miscommunication, things not STIs. Going well. Yeah. When you accidental pregnancy, when you engage in this type of behavior. So I don't know. My advice to young people would be a little bit more careful maybe.
Oh, I was going to say we've got to go with the Catholic meme of abstinence is the cure for everything. But
to be fair, that wouldn't, like, unwanted pregnancies would not happen as much as they do.
Yeah. I mean, you could still be a victim of sexual violence though. That is
a thing, true. But that's not where most unwanted pregnancies come from.
No, that's true. They go further into the definition of consent here. Continuous. Ask for consent every step of the way to ensure an enjoyable experience, especially if you're changing what you're doing. Active. The person initiating an act continuously checks in for consent and does not assume the other person is okay with something.
That's sexy. Constantly being asked, hey, is this okay? Hey, are you okay with this? Hey, this is okay, right? Like, hey, you still having a good time? Okay. Like, I don't know. This is just bad advice. I think this is just bad advice.
I just think of, like, the Jerry worm.
From Rick and Morty.
Yeah. So here we get into another hypothetical. We're not very good at these, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently our hypothetical selves are very rapey.
I don't like making those jokes because I'm a man and that doesn't look good for me. So no. Alex wants to continue, but is unsure if Jesse wants to as well. What should Alex do in this situation? Continue. Jesse didn't say no. Or stop and check in.
I feel like this, like so many of these things, it's like it's situational. Yeah. I don't think they place enough emphasis or importance on the idea of nonverbal cues.
If she's not liking what you're doing, I don't know.
But that's the thing. Like, we don't know because, like, it doesn't say.
I mean, there's nothing wrong in this case with stopping and checking in, I guess, if she's like giving nonverbal cues saying, I don't like this.
Yeah, there's nothing like wrong with checking in. I don't want people to think that I think that, but it's the notion that you have to do it every step of the way or else you're neglecting consent is what I have a problem with.
Oh, we got it.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So I think we're going to stop there because I don't know how much more I can take of that. We do videos about dating because I think it's who you choose to spend your life with is an important part of, like, a strong family culture. But I get guys commenting all the time that they're afraid to date women now, and it's because of stuff like this. And I don't have a problem with administrators being overbearing and just ridiculous with things. But what worries me is that a lot of people do think this way now, just like regular people. And I don't think this is any way to date at all.
No.
Oh, also, by the way, this is mandated in the province that we live in by the government. So this isn't just the school saying you have to teach your students not to rape. It's actually the government.
Actually, no, I was randomly selected. I'm joking. Everybody has to do this.
Yeah, everyone has to do this.
We're almost at the deadline.
Yeah.
And we need to film this. There are two more modules after this that I will have to complete without your wonderful viewership.
But, yeah, I think I'm okay with not being wise to the nuances of consent and sexual violence that this online program would inform me of. In any case, though, we hope you guys had fun. I wouldn't say that I did particularly, but it was interesting.
Hey.
And we'll see you next time.